Chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Before we pray this morning, let me just remind you that Dr. Luke, in the record that is in our hands, has produced for us a careful record based upon human investigation, the Holy Spirit's inspiration, without any liberty of imagination, at the expense of theological or historical precision. Or to say it otherwise, you have in your hands the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Father, help us today as we seek to appropriate the testimony of Simeon into this account of the birth of our Lord. Help us to walk through the passage together in a way in which our eyes are opened and our hearts are tender, that what the Spirit of God would say to us through the Scriptures. We thank you for this testimony. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for every person that has come today. We thank you for things that have led up to this moment in which our Bibles are open, as is our minds, to the truth of Christ. Help us to see. Help us to respond today to the benefit of our souls and the souls of others. We do ask in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen. God himself arranged a special meeting in the temple complex the day that Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus to the Lord according to the word of the Lord. The divinely inspired testimony of Simeon that we've just read concerning the Christ child amazes Joseph and Mary, verse 33. And for the first time, at least the first time in the record of Scripture, alerts Mary to the difficulty and the downside of Christmas. Most people would prefer not to think about a difficulty or a downside to the birth of Christ. But it wasn't very long in the life of Joseph and Mary until the Spirit of God works in such a way to bring the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, even to the minds of those adults, obedient adults, to the will of God. If you read this account a couple of times through, it will not surprise you that I would characterize this as a divinely orchestrated moment, in which it is clear that the Father is bringing together the pieces of a puzzle to present to us the fullness and the glory and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27 is somewhat of a hinge pin, a pin in the text, as it says, and he, Simeon, came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Two things in that verse. You have the Spirit's prompting of an old man, Simeon, to go to the temple complex that day. And you have Mary and Joseph being prompted by the Scriptures. And so in this place, Holy Scripture is the catalyst for Jesus being presented in the temple that day. And the Holy Spirit is the catalyst for Simeon being in the temple complex that very day as the family arrives. Here then is a moment of divine orchestration in which you have in the account the Scriptures and the Spirit coming together in a connection of time. We've called that in previous studies the confluence of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit in a moment of time. It's exactly what we pray about concerning every gathering of the church family here at First Baptist Church. Our gatherings will be fruitless unless there's a unique coming together of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit at a given point in time. That sense of confluence, it's what creates a moment in which truth can be acknowledged and received for the salvation and the blessing of the soul. Two things briefly I would like us to note by way of introduction before we begin to work through the text as quickly as possible this morning. First of all, we have here another incident of revelatory praise, similar to the former ones that we've studied from the lips of Elizabeth and Mary and Zechariah. This particular poetic hymn of praise and prophecy has two stanzas. The first is introduced in verse 28 as Simeon blesses God. Then he took him, Christ, up in his arms and blessed God and said. And then a little further down in verse 34, Simeon blesses them, Mary and Joseph, and says unto Mary. And so those two ideas of blessing, first direction of the revelatory praise directed towards God, blessed be God. And then at a moment, a shift of emphasis and blessed be Mary and Joseph, who are acting, of course, as parents of the Lord Jesus in this instance. Both stanzas have messianic prophecy, but it is the prophecy in the second stanza that is directed to Mary, of which is the most compelling for us to look at this morning in a few moments. Notice the little change of emphasis there in verse 34. Simeon blessed them, that would be Mary and Joseph, and said unto Mary. So he blesses the couple, but he speaks his word of prophecy to Mary and to Mary alone. The second thing I would just have you note by way of introduction that is not immediately evident in the reading of the English text is that the word lighten in verse 32, Christ is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. The word lighten, verse 32. And the last phrase of verse 35, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The word revealed and the word lighten are the same word. It allows us to say that there is something unique about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as Simeon perceives it and communicates concerning that ministry to Joseph and Mary. In the first case, verse 32, Christ is the heavenly light who uncovers or discloses the truth of God to the nations of the world. The word lighten, like the word revealed, has the meaning of uncovering or disclosing or exposing, if you will. In the second instance, the word revealed in verse 35, the second case, Christ is the one that uncovers or discloses the hidden thoughts of men's hearts. And so the person of Jesus Christ in this particular passage is underscoring the truth that Christ is the great revealer. Christ is the great disclosure. Christ is the great exposure. Of what? Verse 32, of God to nations. Of what? Verse 35, of the interior of men's hearts. Our hearts become exposed by the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things, the element of seeing Simeon's praise in connection with the revelatory statements of Elizabeth, Mary, and Zechariah, and that thread of exposing or revealing, are very important to have in our hearts and minds as we seek then to work through the text beginning back at verse 25, the testimony of Simeon. Simeon was prompted by the Holy Spirit, says verse 25 and following, to go to the temple complex that particular day. In verse 25, he is described as a righteous, just, or righteous man, spiritually conscientious or devout. The word devout literally means to be well planted or to take hold of well. It would depict the idea of putting a plant in at the right time of the year so that it had great opportunity to shoot down its roots and to be well planted or to take root, as it were. And so Simeon is described as a person who is well planted, or one who took hold of well in the things of God. He is not only just, he is not only devout, verse 25, but he is described as waiting for the promise of God to Israel to be fulfilled. Then comes a very unusual threefold description of Simeon in relationship to the Holy Spirit. In verse 25, the Holy Spirit of God was upon him. In verse 26, the Holy Spirit of God reveals to him. And in verse 27, he comes to the temple complex as compelled by or driven by the Holy Spirit. This man called Simeon knows things, and he's doing things under the governing jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit, who was upon him, 25, revealing to him, 26, and leading him to the temple complex that very moment of the day, verse 27. Simeon was told of God that he would not die until he had seen with his own eyes the Messiah. On the day of record, in our hands before us this morning, Simeon positioned himself in the outer court. As Mary and Joseph arrived that particular day, he approaches them and he takes the Lord Jesus in his arms. The Greek is very precise and picturesque. It says he took the Lord Jesus in the bent, or the bend of his arm. Simeon reaches out for the baby. There's not the record of a word. I don't know about you, but if you're at the mall and somebody reached for your baby, I'd probably run the other way or call for the cops. But Mary and Joseph bring their baby to do for him according to the law, and Simeon reaches for the baby and they give him up. He holds the Christ child in the bend of his arm and speaks this word of blessing towards the Lord. Now, before we move on, I want you to just make sure you note the clear, unmistakable action here of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Usually, when we reference the triunity of God, we do so in that order: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's interesting because in this text, the order is reversed as to the presentation of how you end up at the truth. The Spirit of God is leading Simeon to meet the Son of God, who, upon meeting him, Simeon blesses the Father. So the Spirit of God, God the Son, God the Father. The order is reversed, but the triunity of God well represented in the flow of that text. Second thing, Simeon prayed a prayer of praise to God that relates to the promise of Christ, the Messiah, being fulfilled. Verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon states that he is ready now to die. He's ready to go in peace, as it were, because he has seen exactly as God promised that he would, God's salvation or God's Savior. Verse 30. Then verse 31, Simeon affirms that Messiah is the centerpiece of God's plan of salvation, and that this salvation which God has prepared has come in exactly the way that people should expect. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. That phrase, the face of all people, means the Messiah has come into the world exactly as everybody who's read the biblical record of the Old Testament should expect. Here he is. And Simeon was led by the Spirit of God to meet the Lord Jesus on that particular day. Furthermore, then he speaks of Christ. Verse 32, as a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. God's light has come, verse 32, and the result of that light coming is disclosure. The result of the light who is Christ coming into the world is exposure. The result of the light which Christ is coming into the world is the full revealing of God to the nations, the ethnos of the world. And furthermore, a particular sense of glory and blessing to the nation of Israel. I'm preaching this section quick because I need to get to the end of this thing where the juice is and where your heart will thrill to see what is said here concerning Christ. But note these three things that have been said by Simeon in that first stanza of his revelatory praise directed towards the blessing of God. He said, one, Christ is salvation. He said, Christ is the full disclosure of God to man. And Simeon said, Christ is the glory of Israel. Those three concepts all deserve their own sermon. I just ask you to note them. And to rejoice in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the name upon which you and I are saved. Jesus Christ is the full disclosure of God to man. Boy, does that connect with our study in Colossians chapter 1 these days. Christ is the glory of the nation of Israel. Israel has no greater talking point than the fact that out of her has come he who is God, the man, Jesus Christ. So believe me when I tell you in that first section, that first stanza of revelatory praise, there's an awful lot to think about. There's an awful lot to respond to. There's an awful lot to praise God over, to be sure. But I want to move on for our purposes this morning to the second stanza. Mary and Joseph, verse 33, marvel at those things that Simeon said concerning Jesus Christ. And, verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary. Third thing on your study outline this morning is that Simeon prophesied to Mary personally, and for the first time in the biblical record, reveals that which is going to be characteristically true of the Lord Jesus in the first advent. What Simeon says to Mary after blessing Mary and Joseph greatly impacts our understanding, our teaching, our preaching, our doctrinal statement, everything that we know about Christ as connected to the first advent, what Simeon says is greatly impacted by it in a phenomenal kind of a way. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this one or this child is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be exposed, disclosed, or if you will, revealed. Simeon tells Mary in this moment something that apparently she had never heard anyone say to her previously. And of course, we're not sure as to the degree to which she'd even thought this thought before this particular moment. Simeon said that Jesus would bring into the life of Mary, ready? Great difficulty and wounding of soul. Doesn't exactly sound like a glad you had a baby card to me. Kind of a sobering thing. Can't we just rejoice in the birth for a while before we have to be confronted with this kind of stuff? Apparently not. Mary is confronted with the truth of her son, and it's clear even upon first reading that everything in relationship to the birth of Christ and their following is not going to go smoothly for God's anointed. In Simeon's prophetic depiction of ministry of Christ, three images are employed. You have the sword of verse 35. You have the sign of verse 34. And you have the less apparent set stone of verse 34. Let me quickly develop those metaphors for us this morning as they depict in precise terms the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first advent. The word set, verse 34, in the phrase set for the fall and the rise of many, most literally means to lay something down like a mason would lay down a stone or a brick when building. We are all familiar this morning with the occupation called brick layer. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, chapter 8, we won't turn there this morning for the sake of time, but Isaiah spoke of God in the future laying a stone, a rock, down in the nation of Israel. And Isaiah chapter 8 not only forecast that God would lay a stone down in Israel, but that that stone so laid in Israel would cause many Jewish people to stumble. They would stumble over it. Or more precisely, they would stumble over him. In Isaiah chapter 28, the prophet also spoke of God laying a precious foundational stone in Israel that would never disappoint anyone that came to trust upon it. Or we would say, more precisely, that came to trust upon him. And so the first mental picture that Simeon, this old man, directed to the temple complex by the Holy Spirit of God at the very time when Mary and Joseph are coming to fulfill the scriptural demand of the law concerning the Lord Jesus. The very first thing that Simeon reveals is that Jesus Christ is the set stone of Isaiah 8 and 28. Therefore, Jesus Christ is set for, biblical words now, the fall. What? The fall. What? Oh, the fall and rise. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You see, Mary's heart and Joseph's heart and the heart of the entire Jewish nation was set for the rise of Israel to the place of glory as promised by God. But this idea of fall before rise. This idea of suffering before victory. This idea of death before life was the part of the Bible the Jewish people liked to ignore. Simeon came telling the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help him God. And he said to Mary, specifically to Mary, after blessing the couple, "The baby in my arms is set. He's the set stone for the fall and the rising again of many in as Israel." Secondly, he's the sign. He's the sign of God. Now, the word sign here is used exactly as it was previously when the shepherds were given a sign as to how they were going to be able to identify who the Christ child was. They were told that when they went to the place where Christ was born, that the sign was they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a feed trough. The fact that he was wrapped up normally, but abnormally or unusually lying in a feed trough, it was the sign of identification for the shepherds. And here, Simeon speaks of a sign, and it's the sign of God's approval, the sign of identification as God has marked the Christ, as God has marked Messiah, and the sign is which Messiah shall be spoken against. Anti-Christos. Against. That this promised deliverer, this one of God's salvation, will be spoken against. It stresses the unusual thing. And believe me when I tell you, while these are common truths and well-known truths to us in this place, for Mary and Joseph to be taken in mind to this truth at that moment is a phenomenal thing. Jesus the Messiah will be resisted, even spoken against, even as it were rejected. Not news to us, but believe me when I tell you that when they heard that, there was a sense of, what? What? The long-awaited promise of God is going to be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense? Yes. Many will fall and stumble over him? Yes. But those that come to believe upon him will build their lives upon the rock, which he is? Yes. And the sign of the Messiah, the way you know that you have the right one, the true one, the one of God's own choosing, is that people resist him and reject him? You mean to tell me that the glorious promise of God centered in the person of Messiah will be met with resistance? You already know the answer to that. In the position of hindsight, we are very familiar with the whole story of our Savior. He came unto his own, finish the verse, and his own. That's Christmas. That's connecting righteously the cradle and the cross. And the coming crown of the Lord Jesus. Simeon also spoke about the sword. He said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The sword not only represents the wounding of Mary's soul over the coming treatment of her son, but it also characterizes the very ministry of the Lord Jesus in the first advent. Simeon certainly was saying to Mary, your own soul is going to be hurt. It's going to be wounded because of things that are associated with your glorious son. But Simeon is also indicating that which characterizes the ministry of Christ. Adult Jesus would say of himself, I came to bring a sword. Jesus divided people. And I might add, Jesus divides people. In what sense? In the sense that the real truth about people becomes clear as you see them react to the full truth of the Lord Jesus. Hearts of people are uncovered by the way they respond to the whole truth of Jesus. It has been the pattern of false Christianity for almost 2,000 years now to pick and to choose the parts of Jesus we like and respond to them. It is the faithful pattern of saints in all generations over 2,000 years to take the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God, and apply it to our singing and our teaching and our preaching and our celebrating and our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what time of year it is. The truth of Christ wounds as well as wonderfully saves. As you watch people respond to the full truth of Jesus, you get an insight into their own soul. That's what the scripture said, verse 35. Simeon said that the sword will pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. As people hear the full truth of Christ and they respond to that full truth of Christ, you get an insight into the window of their soul. And so, in quick recap, Simeon's prophecy here begins to help us to put the mission of Christ as to the time, that time of focus in the first advent. The first advent, as we so call it, is as much about stumbling as it is about success. It's as much about anti-Messiah or anti-Christ as it is pro-Christ or pro-Messiah. The first advent was as much about exposing the sinful condition of man as it is saving Jews and Gentiles. It would wound Mary's motherly heart deeply as people treated Jesus amiss. But I remind you this morning that in the ill treatment of Jesus, men's hearts were exposed to be in rebellion against God. And God's love, as demonstrated in the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Christmas. Heavenly Father, help us this morning to be